beyond a shadow of a doubt that once they receive the bonds in their hands, they act promptly and do what they're required to do as far as redeeming bonds. What happens between Oregon and their bank and in between coming back is called this gremlin called time. We don't know what happens. Everybody is willing to point fingers at each other and say it's his fault. And we don't know whose fault it is. But as what we're saying is it just doesn't have to happen.
More questions?
I'm Doug McClain. I work for the Oregon Bank in Portland in the bond division. Also involved in the Portland Municipal Bond Club, the other two. I'd like to speak just a little bit maybe to the part from the retail investor in Oregon who, like I said, you know, if you buy a bond, it's in a county, you live in the county, you can drive down to the county courthouse, get your collection. Well, the state of Oregon bonds, we have set up, and I would imagine First in U.S. has probably done the same with their branch system, a coupon and bond collection center, which in our particular bank is in Portland, at our operations center, where bonds and coupons can be sent through the branch system to this center. From there, they are then forwarded on to the particular entity that does the paying, whether it's the county, the city, the state. The ones that we are finding we get fairly good return on are the counties and the cities, which are in Oregon. They're local, mail. They are set up generally to only have this happen maybe once a month on their issues, once every 6 months in some cases. But the state bonds are a continual thing. Every 15 days, they have a lot of coupons coming due in New York. Our history has been with our customers, when they turn in the branch, we can get it to Portland within generally 2 days through our interbranch mail system. From there, we then mail it to New York for collection. The customer, by the time it comes back, sees it in his account, generally about 10 days later. As soon as that comes back into our bank, we have a copy of the original advice we sent off. Another portion of that is a credit advice. When that check comes back in, it's put right with the credit and into the bank system for deposit to their account that night. I brought along a copy of a transmittal letter from our operations area that we had sent on the 15th of February this year to Chase Manhattan Bank, which it takes approximately just 2 days for us to get it back to their cashiering area, the stock transfer department. And we left our place on the 15th. They sent it back to us on the 28th, which is 13 actual days. We had another one that didn't quite make it down here today. It was sent to them in December of 84. We got it back in the mid part of February. It took about 6 weeks. That came back into us after we had to make a second request to get it. The request was made by phone call and it was sent a couple of days later. It was held there for a month. So it's just long delays. It, myself as retail salesman, I again experienced the problem with the retail investor being hesitant again to buy State of Oregon bonds to a standpoint that they have to go through that delay problem. Many people still buy them locally and they like them because the state has full geo backing. Gives them a lot of security. They see a wide diversification there and low risk. So the bonds are still being purchased by quite a few, but there's some growing going on too. The Oregon Treasurer's Office is set up to do the paying, the registering, that type of thing, but our cashier has also experienced a problem that she has sent the bonds there to be transferred, but quite often the state treasurer's office will be loaded up with an awful lot of work and will then be forced to get it done in a speedy manner and then send it off to Chase Manhattan to be done. So it just takes a little route through Salem here and heads off for New York anyway. Again, back to the same problem. The way I see it, why Portland, I guess, because I think the banks are getting these central processing centers set up in Portland. So the brokerage houses, if bonds are in safekeeping, they are in the brokerage houses in Portland, in their safekeeping, in their vaults. They can then be taken by courier directly to the paying agent in town to then be paid. They don't have to be driven by armored car down here to Salem. You can really speed it up. You can a lot of times get 1 day turnaround, I would think. It should be very quick on that. And, you know, we all sell, as far as people who sell, I guess, in this state, we have our institutional investors that we sell to. The bond funds are coming on the scene pretty heavy now. They're mainly out of New York or Chicago. Back there with Chicago has direct access very readily right into New York to get their collections done too. So you still need to have that New York paying agent, because granted, that's where the bulk of it's being done at. But the local people who are going to be your retail base are wanting to have, I think, a local paying agent just to speed it up. It's the it's just a time factor again. And that's, I think, part of the reason why I have in Portland, because most of it funnels through there through various means, whether it be brokerage house branch offices or bank branch offices. It doesn't have to be a bank being a paying agent. It could be a branch office of the state treasurer's office. Or anything that you felt to elect, I guess.
Questions?
Being a real neophyte, I just want to get a clarification. Then why isn't the logic better that we have a whatever holding or clearing right here in Salem, because they are going to be losing billions of dollars worth of bonds every year? Why should it be 50 miles up the road and 50 miles back and take another day that we don't have our money?
Well, you're looking, I think, there at the place where they're issued out of here. The state of Oregon is the issuer on the bonds. But we're talking about where the coupons and the bonds are actually being held at and for payment. Again, that's in Portland. Although you might have the State of Oregon Veterans Division issuing the bonds, what they in essence do is print up a bond, sign it, sell it. It's delivered to whomever buys the issue. Generally, it would be a bank in New York because of the size of the issues. Then they're split up to whoever's going to own it and sent all over the country to the holders. But when it comes back down to the people in Oregon, I think you see most of the bonds and coupons flowing back to Portland for payment through quite often bank branches that take bond coupons in for collection, also bonds for payment.
I guess what I was referring to is our public employees retirement system more than the issuance of bonds. It seems to me we're giving billions of dollars. I don't have any argument if PERS is headquartered in Portland, but generally speaking, this is the center of government, and I just wonder why it isn't logical. And furthermore, I guess I wonder why it isn't logical in the computer world we live in, why it shouldn't be instantaneous on everything you're talking about.
You have that little coupon to clip.
Well, we can change that.
The registration coming in, that's changed a lot, but PERS, for example, isn't really a holder of tax-exempt bonds. And items I think that they do buy, they might get a certificate delivered to them for safekeeping, but again, an awful lot of their things can go on through wire systems, where ours have to actually have physical delivery of a bond or a coupon to be paid. So it's a paperwork problem, it's an awful lot of it.
But we aren't all in U.S. Congress to change all that.
Full questions? I'll take it in there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Gary Delaney, the State Treasurer's Office, Treasury Administrator. With me today is Mr. Kirk Solfus of Chase Manhattan Bank, who is the state's current fiscal agent. Our office is here today neither in opposition nor support of the bill, but we're going to talk about our current circumstances, as is Mr. Soltis's position. The testimony that's been presented and a concern for Oregon bondholders is a concern of the State Treasurer's Office also. And we obviously are dealing with a massive and major administrative problem in dealing with Mr. Morgan's bond of debt. There is almost $6 billion in debt outstanding. It is truckloads worth of paper. It is, as some of the witnesses have indicated, a major part of that is in New York. It is the reason for having a New York fiscal agent. Also, as has been indicated on occasion, the State Treasurer's Office has made provision for payment of smaller individual items that are presented to our office. And I guess one of the points I would make as far as some of the things that have been represented today is that in many cases, I believe, we're talking about a communication problem. And our office has always put ourselves out as available to resolve specific problems if an individual will simply present to us those specific problems. I have heard today language that we have heard in the past. I have participated in many meetings with the banks in which I have said, will you please enumerate for me the particular problem you have, and we will attempt to resolve it for you. Again, we have a paying function available in our office. I believe that the mechanical provisions of making bond or coupon payment through New York, if they are done on a timely basis by bank trust departments who are holding items in safekeeping, and as I believe Representative Schoon indicated, you may send up to 2 weeks ahead of the payable date items for collection that will be dispersed by Chase on the payable date and back probably in 1 day's time to the corresponding bank. Having a paying agent in Portland will not alter the process for someone in Roseburg or Grants Pass or somewhere else around the state. There is always going to be some delay in the system. I think another point to be made as far as information is concerned, and information for Oregon bondholders and individuals who buy bonds, is to be presented some of the facts about the processing of those items. I, for instance, within the last week, encountered a couple came into the state treasurer's office, said, how in the world can I get payment for my bonds and coupons? I give them to my bank, and it's a month before I get payment. And we talked about the situation. I won't mention the bank, but they have been represented here today. And it was their practice to deposit coupons on the payable date. Obviously, if you take your coupons out to Dallas, Oregon, on March 1st, and want to get paid, and the collection process is through Portland, New York, Clearinghouse, it is going to take 10 days to get your money back. However, if someone had told those individuals, if you will please present your coupons to us a couple of weeks ahead of time, we'll have your money very close to payable date for you. And I think the practice arose in a lot of cases in the past when individuals with coupons took them into their bank, gave them to them on payable date, banks at that time gave them credited their account. Banks weren't really concerned with all the factors that are better done today. Float analysis, cost, fee transactions. So everyone was happy. The customer took their coupon in, payable date, they got credit. Now all of a sudden the bank wouldn't give them credit. They said, we've got to wait until we get our money in here, and you're not going to get your money until we get ours, and besides that, there's a collection charge for you. I can understand the bank's position in doing that. However, what I'm saying is that in addition, I believe there's a responsibility of the banks, the other individuals in the investment community, to say that now that the rules have changed, here's the way to play the game. And it is to put your coupons 2 weeks ahead. Get them through the system. And in addition, if banks will come to me and say, hey, I've got a problem, and they get customers coming in on the payable date with their items, we will handle for them minimal amounts of coupons and bonds. We don't object to that. What we can handle is huge volume. We don't have the staffing for it. That's why we have an arrangement with a fiscal agent in New York. So, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'd be glad to respond to some questions, but I just, as I say, that again, it is not really in support or opposed to the bill. I don't have the, I can't say to you that it's a mistake to appoint a paying agent in Portland. I'm just saying I'm not certain that's the solution to the problem, and that we have really discussed with the interested parties the resolution of their particular problems. We are, again, available at all times and have attempted to provide service whenever it's requested. One final point would be from an administrative standpoint, again, with this huge volume of debt outstanding, for us to be able to operate between simply our office and the payments that we do and our fiscal agent in New York, currently Chase Manhattan Bank, that's a massive amount of information that at least is controlled at only 2 points. So we're now talking about a possibility of a third point in the information flow. It compounds our problems administratively and from a control standpoint, and again talking about $200 million a year in debt service, 2 million items, thousands, hundreds of thousands of other types of bonds. It's important to me and to the Treasury to maintain in the most effective manner control points. And again, Mr. Chairman, I'd be willing to respond to any questions of the committee.
Questions?
I'm still trying to get some of the basic picture here on this, and I'm not too ashamed to admit that. Would this bill mean that the state would have to take a big chunk of its money and deposit it in some bank in Portland that you would authorize as a fiscal agency? Is that what this bill means?
No, Mr. Chairman and Representative McKee, what this bill, if it should pass in this fashion, the Treasury then has a choice to say, will it solve some problems? Does it make sense to me to appoint a paying agent in Portland? That paying agent, as was mentioned earlier, would probably be a co-paying agent along with our current fiscal agent. For purposes of payment, you've got to start at a central location. We would no doubt still continue to send funds to New York, to Chase Manhattan currently, for debt service on payable date. A paying agent in Portland would make payment an arrangement occasionally as once they establish experience over time and they say, well, 5% of the items are presented in Portland, as it turns out. It may be that they would then make an arrangement with Chase, for instance, to say, on payable date, we'll send back to you 5% of the debt service because that's what it looks like you'd probably pay. So that would be worked out between those financial institutions. But we would continue to maintain just a single relationship in a single spot to send the funds. And by the way, those funds are interest-earning funds. They are the funds that are used to, there was mention made of funds remaining in Oregon. Interest earnings on those funds do return to Oregon and return to the issuing agencies and issuing funds involved. What we do is pay our cost to Chase out of those earnings. The residual earnings come back to our office. So free lunch anymore. Everyone is interested in interest earnings and in float. It's a valid concern, a valid question. There are a lot of questions associated with it. However, again, you're in a position to offer service, and I think currently have the facilities available to accommodate problems if they're presented to us in some fashion that we can understand and resolve them for individuals.
Any questions, Mr. Chairman? If the bank or trust company in Portland was designated, and if I took it there on the day it was due, how long would I be able to get my payment then, or am I still going to have to wait some period of time for a mail transaction or some other thing to occur?
It would depend on, Mr. Chairman and Representative Ricas, how it was structured within the bank. They presumably would have a collection desk of some kind. You individually, in a typical paying agent situation, could go to that collection desk, assuming they had all of the information related to Oregon bonds and outstanding bonds and coupons, and could verify that what you had in your hand was indeed some kind of a valid item, at least from the number range and so forth, there's not really any check about it, then yes, they could issue you a check for that item. You could do the same thing if you walked into room 167 of the State Capitol building with a coupon in your hand on payable date and wanted your money, we would write you a check for your coupon. Correct.
If I mail it in, say I live in Eugene and I mail it in to Portland, is there any further delay by mailing it in other than what it takes to mail back, or I suppose another option would be to go to a Eugene branch, if it was the Eugene branch of the Portland. If I was in a community where there was no particular branch of the Portland Bank and I mailed it in to Portland, I would be saving time that takes less time to mail from someplace in Oregon to Portland than it does from someplace in Oregon to New York. But by virtue of mailing it in, I don't lose any other time other than what it takes to mail it in. If I mailed it in ahead of time on the day, I'd get the payment.
Yes, presumably if you mail it in ahead of time without a payable date, a payment would be mailed back to you. It would not be sent prior to payable date.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman? And is this testimony, there's some discussion of delays can take up 15 days or I guess we had some testimony of a month, but there is a delay before payment in the current system. Interest on that money, someone's collecting interest on the money that is supposed to be paid on the 15th or on a particular due date, and it doesn't actually get paid until later for various reasons. Someone accrues interest there. Who does that go to, the state of Oregon, or does it go to the trust company or bank?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Ekus, as a reference I made a few moments ago, that yes, the interest accrues on the account, and again currently to Chase Manhattan Bank, and I guess I should mention I reference currently Chase Manhattan Bank, and only do that because Citibank for a long time was our fiscal agent, Chemical Bank was our fiscal agent for 4 years. Through a competitive bid process, Chase Manhattan became our fiscal agent in 1982, so they currently serve that way. But our arrangement is that those balances for unpresented items, which is really what they represent, if we have $30 million in debt service coming due in the first of the month, and $30 million of items are presented, obviously there's no float and there's no money available. The fact is that $30 million worth of items aren't presented. Maybe $25 million are. Maybe $20 million is the first day. So that over time, until they're all presented, there are balances available. Those balances are accruing interest. The use of those balances in that interest is to pay the processing fees of Chase Manhattan Bank, and the residual interest is passed back to the state of Oregon. We in turn credit Veterans Affairs or Higher Education or whoever it was that had the outstanding debt that was not presented and enabled the account to earn interest on a proportionate basis.
Mr. Chairman?
I'm
not sure I followed that. I guess I'm trying to figure out, who benefits by the delays?
The state of Oregon, basically, by being able to pay the processing fees without cost, effectively. Obviously, the cost is borne by somebody. In this case, it's investors who are not either presenting their items timely for whatever reason, generally inadvertently. But effectively, that's what happens. The cost is to those individuals whose items were not redeemed on a timely basis. The benefits of those costs are really passed to the state of Oregon. It enables us to pay processing fees and also enables us to generate some incremental return to the bond funds and invested to bond issuing agencies.
Mr. Chairman, if this bill passed and gave you the authority to designate a trust company or a bank, what would be the considerations?
My considerations would be primarily administrative in nature. I would be concerned that we would be able to function in, again, as effective a manner as we are currently. And that means having information available in an automated basis. We have currently tape-to-tape exchange with Chase Manhattan Bank. They have obviously a very advanced processing system. They maintain all file information, bonds and coupons, so as they're processing, they're able to tell, is there a stop payment on this item, is there a problem with it. There are a lot of processing functions that they're able to accomplish, and in turn, submit that information back to us in an accurate manner and allow us to run it against outstanding files that we're maintaining. I would be concerned that we would continue to get that level of service from whoever it was that might be selected as a fiscal agent. And the other problem would be the setting up the third leg in a stool. I'm not sure if you want to hear that term around here, but third leg in this process that we then have to reconcile. It's a matter of, are they going to be able to fully process the items, send the information to us, allow us to assimilate it into our current system, and we're not going to miss a beat? Or is it going to create some new problems? Are they not going to be able to fully process? Are they in turn going to have to turn around and send the items back to Chase Manhattan Bank so that we can capture all the information related to them, do the data entry and all the rest of it? The questions will be, would they be capable of providing the service from an administrative standpoint that we need? The other concerns would relate to the Oregon customers. Obviously, that's would then become available, a paying spot in Portland. The question then is, who is going to benefit from that, and to what degree is that necessary? To what degree does that overcome problems that are currently in place, either real or imagined? And again, I would foresee lengthy discussions taking place in that regard, and would also tell you I'm not totally averse to the idea. I don't mean to indicate that either. I am saying that we would have to be satisfied that problems would be resolved, that we would be getting somewhere by making that appointment.
No, go ahead. You want to answer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. At what point do we run headlong into Securities Exchange or federal regulations, or whatever we call it? I have the concern for the Oregon bondholder who claims they're being floated upon up to 2 weeks or so. Suppose that that we propose some legislation that would, a person could send their coupons, be it New York, Portland, or wherever, or Salem, return receipt request. That would be postmarked, and if we're there by the time that the coupon was due, that we would require interest payments equal if we were with the bond interest payment was required in the float time between the return receipt request, legitimate day that it was to be paid, and the postmark the day it was mailed. Do we run into the feds on that, or can we require that on Oregon bond?
I'm not certain that I'm conversant with that topic.
Well, Mr. Chairman, sir, at least what is in industry practice, typically the payments are arranged for by the municipalities on the... Frank Soltis, Chase Manhattan Bank. The payments typically are made on a clearing funds basis, that is to say a clearinghouse funds check or transfer is issued to the recipient of the bonds. There are mechanisms in place presently that provide for a timely payment of the security. If I may back up a little bit, operationally coming through our shop are what comes in basically in two major ways. Through the clearinghouse, which is a group of New York institutions that take collections from various banks around the country, and direct presentations. Under the terms of the clearinghouse agreement, we're required to take in work for 15 days prior to the payment date. To the extent that work is presented in that time frame, payment is made to the presenting institution or to the clearinghouse on the payment date in clearinghouse funds, which basically gives the clearing institutions good money the next business day. This is standard practice. I think where we're getting into delay situations are those individuals, as Mr. Delaney mentioned earlier, that are making the presentations are about to pay the late, and there's a delay factor after that. To the extent, to answer your question specifically, could interest be paid on those dollar payments to the extent they are beyond the payment date. I think you can certainly do that. It would be something certainly new, but the beneficiary